When the purpose is divine, a journey towards destiny. DRMWM Kanta 1 When the purpose is divine. ISBN 978-1-0370-0150-5 Copyright 2024 by Drive Mvutuza Waltram Kanta. All rights reserved. This book is protected by the international copyright laws and may not be copied or reprinted for commercial gain or profit. No part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, or stored in a database or retrieval system, without the prior written permission of the publisher. Published by Omega Global University Media House Eswatini Wright, Dr. Mvutuza Waltram Kanta P.O. Box 2774, Mbabane plus 268760447 mkhontavalter99@gmail.com South Africa Wright, Professor V. N. Sibiya P.O. Box 4258, Mbamala City South Africa plus 2782470628 Email, omegagu@gmail.com 2 Contents Endorsement 6 Acknowledgements X Forward 12 Preface, 15 Introduction 1 Chapter 1 Understanding Divine Purpose 3 Chapter 2 Discovering Your Divine Purpose 5 Chapter 3 Living in Alignment with Divine Purpose 13 Chapter 4 Surrendering to the Will of God 29 Chapter 5 Embrace Authenticity 33 Chapter 6 Fulfilling Your Calling 39 Chapter 7 Overcoming Obstacles and Challenges that May Hinder Your Divine Purpose 45 Chapter 8 Immortality Enveloped in a Mortal Body 57 Chapter 9 The Creative Power of the Word of God 71:3 When the Purpose is Divine Chapter 10 Living a Life of Fulfillment Through Discovering One's Ministry 79:4 Endorsement in When the Purpose is Divine, Dr. Mvutuza Waltram Kanta brilliantly navigates the intricate relationship between spirituality and personal fulfillment. This compelling narrative not only inspires readers to seek their true calling but also encourages them to embrace the journey of awakening to a higher purpose. With profound insights and relatable stories, this book is a beacon for anyone in search of meaning in their lives. I highly recommend this book for anyone who wants to discover their purpose and live fulfilling their callings. Endorsed by Professor V. N. Sibiya Omega Bible Theological College / Omega Global University Life Chancellor, Founder / President, Omega Global Churches and Africa Conference of Covenant Churches 5 When the Purpose is Divine 6 Dedication This book is dedicated to all those who are in pursuit to discover their mandate on earth and individuals who may not understand why certain occurrences take place in their lives. This book helps to explore ways to actively pursue and manifest one's divine purpose in daily life through service, creativity, and personal growth. I would like to appreciate my wife and my daughters Charlene, Kayla, and Nicole and also my one and only son Osbert for the unwavering support as I impact lives through this book. I have learned a lot from being a husband and a father, my family has shaped my life in a special way. To all those who seek to discover their true purpose and calling in life, may you be inspired by the divine wisdom and guidance found in the Word of God. May you embrace the journey of self-discovery with faith, courage, and open hearts, knowing that when your purpose aligns with God's divine plan, great things can be achieved. May you always remember that your identity and worth come from being a beloved child of God, created with a unique purpose to fulfill in this world. Let the truth of God's Word illuminate your path and guide you as you strive to live a life that reflects His love and grace. When the purpose is divine, all things are possible. 7 When the purpose is divine 8 Acknowledgements As I reflect on the journey of writing When the purpose is divine, I am overwhelmed with gratitude for the countless individuals who have supported and inspired me along the way. This book has been a labor of love and a testament to the power of divine purpose in our lives. First and foremost, I want to express my deepest gratitude to God, whose divine guidance and inspiration have been the driving force behind this book. Your presence has infused every word and every page, and I am humbled by the opportunity to share your message of love and purpose with the world. I am grateful for my family and friends who have stood by me with unwavering support and encouragement. Your love, prayers, and belief in me have been a source of strength throughout this journey. I am grateful to the team at the Omega Global University Media House for their dedication and expertise in bringing this book to life. Their guidance in the publication processes has been invaluable, and I am thankful for their commitment to creating a high-quality final product. I am also grateful to the readers and supporters of this book, whose curiosity, openness, and engagement have fueled my passion for sharing this message of hope and purpose. Your 9 When the Purpose is Divine feedback and encouragement have been a source of motivation and inspiration. Lastly, I want to acknowledge all those who have walked alongside me on this journey of self-discovery and spiritual growth. Your presence has enriched my life in countless ways, and I am forever grateful for your love, wisdom, and friendship. To all those who have played a part in bringing When the Purpose is Divine to fruition, thank you from the depths of my heart. May this book serve as a beacon of light and inspiration for all who seek to align their lives with the divine purpose that God has set before them. 10 Forward in a world filled with distractions and uncertainties, it can be easy to lose sight of our true purpose and calling. Yet, when we align ourselves with the divine will of God, a sense of clarity and direction begins to emerge. It is in this sacred space of surrender and obedience that we discover the true essence of who we are meant to be. When the Purpose is Divine is a profound exploration into the transformative power of living a life in accordance with God's divine plan. Through the lens of faith, author Dr. Mvuthuzi Walter Mkonta unveils the beauty and significance of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our steps and illuminate our path. Drawing upon timeless wisdom from the Word of God, Dr. Mvuthuzi Walter Mkonta invites readers on a journey of self-discovery, spiritual growth, and personal transformation. With grace and insight, he illuminates the profound truth that our purpose is intricately woven into the fabric of God's divine will for our lives. As you immerse yourself in the pages of this book, may you be inspired to embrace the divine purpose that has been uniquely ordained for you. May you be encouraged to surrender your will to God's, trusting in His perfect plan and timing. And may you be emboldened to walk boldly in the path He has set before you, knowing that when the purpose is divine, all things are possible. 11 When the Purpose is Divine, open your heart to the possibilities that await when you align your purpose with the divine will of God. Let this book be a guiding light on your journey to a life filled with meaning, fulfillment, and unwavering faith. Jeffrey Fakuch 12:13 When the Purpose is Divine Preface. When the purpose is divine, life takes on a deeper meaning and sense of direction. In the pages that follow, we will explore the transformative power of discovering your true self through the Word of God. This journey of self-discovery is not merely about uncovering personal strengths and weaknesses, but about aligning your life with the divine purpose that God has uniquely ordained for you. As we dive into the scriptures, we will unearth timeless truths and profound insights that illuminate our identity as children of God. We will navigate the complexities of the human experience, finding solace and guidance in the unwavering love and wisdom of our Creator. Through this exploration, we will challenge ourselves to let go of our own agendas and desires, and to surrender to the higher calling that God has placed on our lives. It is in this surrender that we will find true fulfillment and joy, as we embrace the purpose for which we were created. May this book serve as a beacon of light and hope, guiding you on your journey of self-discovery and empowering you to live a life that is truly aligned with the divine purpose that God has set before you. 14:15 Introduction. When the purpose is divine means no matter how you can try to evade your call-given mandate, eventually it is God's will that will prevail. When your purpose is divine, you are not allowed to leave earth having not unlocked your God-given mandate. Acts 13:36 For after David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he went to sleep and was laid with his fathers and saw decay. This verse tells us that it is possible to do the will of God and live your life according to God's purpose. Living a life of purpose does not mean that your path will be straight or without disappointments. When the purpose for your life is divine, no man can stop you, and when only the will of God prevails. David, the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse, according to 1 Samuel 17:12, one day he was summoned from the fields by the prophet Samuel, who anointed him king of Israel while Saul was still king. God is sovereign, nothing can stop him. Imagine how Saul felt about occupying a throne with no authority. At times we are asked to find our God-given purpose by asking ourselves these questions: Have I found who am I in Christ? Where am I from? And why am I here? What can I do? Even if you can think you have answered all the questions correctly at one, when the purpose is divine, is possible still to live your life outside your God's purpose. However, God of mercy reveals His will concerning your calling as you journey to find the reason of your existence, as James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." How cool is that? The Creator of heaven and earth is more than willing to draw near to you if you would but lean into His presence through prayer, meditation on Scripture, and hearing Him speak to you through His Word. 2. Chapter 1. Understanding Divine Purpose. Not all purpose is known, only God knows everything. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails, as per Proverbs 19:21. According to Merriam-Webster, purpose is something set up as an object or end to be attained. Simply put, purpose is the original intent for a thing to exist or the why a thing was created. Divine purpose is the mind of God towards someone or something. It is God's intention about someone. God is God of purpose and intention. The Scriptures are replete with theme of purpose and God's intentionality. Nothing in life is without a purpose. Consider the ecosystem and how human body is structured. When the purpose is divine, sometimes it breaks the laid down rules or alter the perception of man for a thing. God has a unique way of using what is despised to bring glory to His mighty name. What was the purpose of David to grow in the fields instead of palace? Not all purpose is known, only God knows everything. Only the maker of a thing knows its purpose. Everyone else is needs a manual to find out why and for what it came into existence. 3. When the purpose is divine, we may make our plans, but God has the last word. It is easy to think that everything you do is right, by comparing yourself to the world's standard, but the Lord judges your motives. So it is predominant to invite the Lord to bless our plans. By so doing, they will be a success. Everything God created, He created with the end in mind or destiny. The destiny of the wicked is destruction. The Lord hates everyone who is arrogant. In fact, God is God of standards. In His creation, He set the principle of causation. Cause and the effect play important role in the universe. Jesus said in Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass over me, not my will but thine." Matthew 26:39. And after going a little farther, He fell face down and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, that is, consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." It is crystal clear that when the purpose is divine, you forsake your plans and will and adopt what the Lord has placed before you. The good thing is that through your journey you are bound to see the hand of God. Adam fell through poor judgment or discernment, so we can only be saved through humility, that is, aligning himself to the set protocol as provided by God, the way of Jesus Christ. 4. Chapter 2. Discovering Your Divine Purpose, a profound and transformative experience. Studying and meditating on the Word of God, discovering your divine purpose is a journey, not a destination. Be patient with yourself as you explore and uncover what truly resonates with your soul. Trust in the process and have faith that you will find your unique and meaningful purpose in life. Stay open and flexible to new experiences and opportunities that come your way. Life may present unexpected twists and turns that lead you down a different path, and it's important to remain open to the possibilities that arise. Discover yourself through the Word of God. Discovering yourself through the Word of God is a profound and transformative experience. It involves studying and meditating on Scripture to gain insight into who you are in the eyes of God and how you are called to live your life according to His will. Through Scripture, you can learn about your identity as a beloved child of God, created in His image and called to fulfill a unique and purposeful role in His kingdom. You can find guidance on how to navigate the challenges and uncertainties. 5. When the purpose is divine of life, embracing your strengths and vulnerabilities with the strength that comes from God's grace. As you delve into the Word of God, you may uncover aspects of yourself that need healing and redemption, as well as gifts and talents that are meant to be cultivated and shared with the world. By allowing the Word of God to penetrate your heart and mind, you can deepen your relationship with God and align your life more closely with His divine plan for you. Ultimately, discovering yourself through the Word of God is a lifelong journey of growth, self-reflection, and spiritual renewal. It is a process of surrendering your will to God's and allowing His truth to shape your thoughts, actions, and relationships. In this way, you can become more fully the person God created you to be, shining His light and love in the world around you. Stay focused to the possibilities of the cross. Staying focused to the possibilities of the cross is the ultimate way of discovering divine purpose. God created man in His image and likeness, so if you want to know who or what a man is, God has to be consulted as the creator of man. So the divine purpose is part and parcel of man discovering himself from the Word of God. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." 6. Divine purpose as a plan of God. When the purpose is divine, the intention becomes the plan of God, and in the process He is glorified. According to 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." God is so much interested in us living our lives according to His purpose, even in the routine of activities of everyday life. For everyone to live a fruitful life, a life of purpose is attained by discovering God's original plan for that particular individual. God reveals His purpose through Jesus Christ according to Titus 2:11, where it reads thus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is right. Doing what is right is living your life fulfilling your purpose. The Bible reveals to us that when David had finished his God-given mandate, he slept with his forefathers. This is the ultimate plan of God concerning mankind, that after we have exhausted ourselves, we join our forefathers. 7. When the purpose is divine. Divine purpose by design. When God created Adam and Eve, His purpose was that they multiply, be fruitful and replenish the earth. A woman was created to have a womb for the purpose of conceiving and growing a baby. It is perversion that people alter their gender. Discover divine purpose as you are led. God said to Abraham, "Come out of the land of your forefathers to a land customized for His greatness." 8. Chapter 2. Discovering your divine purpose. Genesis 12:1-31. Now in Haran the Lord said to Abram, "Go for yourself for your own advantage away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. 2. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing dispensing good to others. 3. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." Discovering your purpose as you are led by the Holy Spirit is a deeply spiritual and personal journey. It involves surrendering your will to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to direct your steps and illuminate your path. As you seek to discover your purpose through the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is important to cultivate a close relationship with God through prayer, meditation, and reflection on Scripture. By spending time in God's presence and listening for 9. When the purpose is divine, His voice, you can discern the unique calling and destiny that He has for your life. The Holy Spirit may reveal your purpose to you through promptings, dreams, or visions, or through the wise counsel of spiritual mentors and community. He may speak to your heart through a deep sense of conviction or passion for a particular cause or mission. As you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you may be guided to step out in faith and take risks that challenge you to grow and rely more fully on God's strength and provision. You may need to let go of your own plans and expectations in order to embrace the greater purpose that God has for you. Discovering your purpose as you are led by the Holy Spirit is a dynamic and ongoing process that requires trust, patience, and openness to God's transformative work in your life. By remaining attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit and walking in obedience to His leading, you can step into the fullness of the calling that God has placed on your life and experience the joy and fulfillment of living out your God-given purpose. A man's partnership or relationship with God leads to his God-given assignment or destiny, which in turn provides fulfillment and satisfaction. 10 Chapter 2 Discovering Your Divine Purpose. Other Ways of Discovering Divine Purpose. 1. Reflect on your passions and talent. Take some time to think about the activities and interests that bring you joy and fulfillment. What are you naturally good at? Pay attention to any talents or skills that stand out to you, as they may be a clue to your divine purpose. 2. Listen to your intuition. Tune into your intuition and inner wisdom to guide you towards your divine purpose. Trust your instincts and listen to the subtle messages that come from within. Your intuition can help you discern what feels right and aligns with your higher purpose. 3. Seek guidance and support. Seek out guidance from mentors, spiritual leaders, or therapists who can help you explore your purpose and provide insights. Surround yourself with supportive and like-minded individuals who can help you on your journey of self-discovery. 4. Practice mindfulness and meditation. Mindfulness and meditation practices can help you quiet your mind and listen to your inner voice. Take time to meditate, journal, and reflect on your thoughts and feelings, allowing space for your true purpose to reveal itself. 11. When the purpose is divine. 5. Follow your heart, trust your heart and follow your dreams and desires. Pay attention to what excites and inspires you, and take steps towards fulfilling your passions and goals. When you align with your heart's desires, you are more likely to discover your divine purpose. 6. Serve others. One way to discover your divine purpose is to be of service to others. Acts of kindness, compassion, and generosity can provide a sense of fulfillment and purpose. Consider how you can use your talents and skills to make a positive impact on the world around you. Chapter 3 Living in Alignment with Divine Purpose, Strategies and Practices for 12 Aligning One's Thoughts, Beliefs, and Actions with Their Understanding of Divine Purpose. Raise an altar. The word altar in scripture means a place of slaughter and sacrifice, where blood was shed and death took place. It symbolized acknowledgement of, approach to, and appreciation of God, in other words worship. The word first occurs in Genesis 8:20-22, where Noah sacrificed clean animals as burnt offerings to express his worship and a sweet savor arose to God. Altars had to be natural and undecorated with human workmanship, but marked by utter simplicity to facilitate and encourage men to seek God. Exodus 20:25, If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones, for if you wield your tool on it you profane it. If you use stones to build my altar, use only natural, uncut stones. Do not shape the stones with a tool, for that would make the altar unfit for holy use. Acts 17:25, PS 65:4. Genesis 12:1 Now in Haran the Lord said to Abram, Go for yourself for your own advantage away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. 13 When the purpose is divine. Abraham built 4 altars. 1. Altar of praise, Gen 12:1-7, 2. Altar of prayer, Gen 12:8-13, 3. Altar of peace, Gen 13:14-18, 4. Altar of provision, Gen 22:9-14, they all foreshadowed the person and sacrificial work of Christ. The altar teaches us, in type, the importance of daily communion with God on the basis of the precious blood of Christ. The foundation of territorial influence is generated from an altar. What you put in the altar is sacrifice. The business of altars is consecrations and sacrifice. This could be a business of prayer, offering, service to others and studying. After God instructed Abraham to come out of his father's house, the man kept on building altars in honor to what God promised him, that is keeping the relationship between him and God alive, which is the consciousness of the superpower over his life. An altar is not necessarily a heap of stones or a consecrated place made of wood, but these are commitments, a life of consistency and absolute devotion to God. 14 Chapter 3 Living in Alignment with Divine Purpose. Have a vision board. A vision board is a visual representation of your goals, dreams, and aspirations. It usually consists of a collage of images, quotes, words and symbols that represent the things you want to manifest or achieve in your life. Creating a vision board can help you clarify and visualize your goals, keep you motivated, and serve as a reminder of your aspirations. By surrounding yourself with images and words that reflect your vision, you are more likely to stay focused and work towards making your dreams a reality. Habakkuk 2:2 The Lord answered me, write down this, inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. Vision, clearly God never created mankind to live an aimless life. A vision board helps to create consciousness of what you want to achieve or fulfill. A vision board brings down the vision, mental picture of your dreams. The vision is your guiding star to your convictions or mandate of your office or calling. Genesis 13:14-18 After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. 15 When the purpose is divine, your consecration demands requires you to discover the function of your ordination. In order to make impact, you have to discover what you were born to do. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb I knew you, before you were born I set you apart, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah 1:5 Speed is not an advantage if you are going to the wrong direction. Jeremiah had to equip himself as per the function of his calling or purpose to plant and to uproot. A. Create core values. Core values or life values are the core beliefs and principles that guide your behavior, decisions, and actions in life. They are the fundamental beliefs that define what is important to you, what you stand for, and what you strive to achieve in your life. Life values can vary greatly from person to person and may include principles such as humility, honesty, integrity, respect, compassion, hard work, family, kindness, personal growth, and many others. Identifying and understanding your life values can help you make choices that align with your beliefs, lead a more fulfilling and purposeful life, and develop a strong sense of self-awareness. B. Create consecrations from your core values. Consecration is the act of dedicating or setting something apart for a sacred purpose or to a higher power. It is often associated with religious or spiritual practices where an object, place, or person is ritually purified and declared sacred or holy. 16 Chapter 3 Living in alignment with divine purpose. Consecration can also refer to the act of making commitment or dedicating oneself to a particular cause, belief, or goal with a sense or reverence and importance. This is illustrated by Daniel in Babylon, according to Daniel 1:8. Using Daniel as an example, early life and purposeful decisions in Daniel 1:8, we see Daniel resolve not to defile himself with the royal food and wine provided by the Babylonian king. This decision reflects his deep commitment to his faith and adherence to dietary laws that were important to his identity as a Jew. Daniel's choice was not merely about food, it symbolized a broader commitment to living according to God's standards, even in a foreign land where he faced immense pressure to conform. Consecration in adversity. Throughout his life, Daniel remained steadfast in his faith despite facing various challenges, including being thrown into the lion's den for refusing to cease praying to God, Daniel 6. His unwavering dedication led not only to personal deliverance but also resulted in the pagan king recognizing and praising the God of Israel. This illustrates how Daniel's consecration had far-reaching effects beyond his own life, influencing those around him. 17 When the purpose is divine. Key aspects of Daniel's consecration. Daily prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, which was a vital part of his spiritual discipline and connection with God. Integrity and excellence. His commitment to excellence in all matters made him stand out among his peers, earning him favor with kings and leaders. Faithfulness under pressure. Even when faced with threats to his life, Daniel remained faithful to God's commands, demonstrating courage and integrity. Process and preparation to prepare for the spiritual mantle. I align with God's will through consecration, prayer, and fasting. Consecration is the act of dedicating myself wholly to God's purposes and surrendering my will to His. It is a process of purification and setting myself apart for His divine calling and anointing. Through prayer, I seek communion with the Holy Spirit, allowing His guidance to lead me on the path that God has prepared for me. I listen attentively to His still, small voice, discerning his promptings and direction. Fasting, on the other hand, helps me to humble myself before God, denying my fleshly desires and focusing my attention to Him. It is a spiritual discipline that strengthens my spiritual connection and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading. By consecrating myself, listening to the Holy Spirit, and engaging 18 chapter 3 living in alignment with divine purpose in prayer and fasting, I position myself to receive and activate the power of the spiritual mantle that God has prepared for me. Importance of consecration sets one apart for God's purposes, purifies the heart and distills motives, aligns you with God's will, cultivates intimacy with God. Example, humility, James 4:6, but He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward 19 when the purpose is divine one another, because, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Songs, your songs derived from your values become weapons of warfare, songs like humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. They create consciousness of the person you should become. Consecration, my consecration is no matter what, I will always humble myself. Benefits, 1. God gives more grace to the humble one. God shows favor to the humble 2. God lifts up the humble 3. God opposes the proud, see, discover mantle/calling/office of operation. A mantle, in a spiritual or metaphorical sense, refer to a symbolic cloak or covering that represents an individual's authority, power, influence, responsibility, or office of operation. 20 Chapter 3 Living in Alignment with Divine Purpose in Biblical and Historical Contexts, mantles were often worn by prophets, leaders, or figures of authority as a symbol of their role and calling. The passing of a mantle from one person to another signifies the transfer of power, leadership, or responsibility from one individual to another. Symbolically, it can represent a sense of protection, strength, or spiritual covering. Mantles can also refer to a particular field of expertise, influence, or authority that someone carries or embodies. What comes with the mantle? Power, position, authority, protection, respect. Consider that one of the reasons David did not kill King Saul when he had a few occasion to do so was he knew Saul was still the king. Therefore, if he attacked him, he was coming against the position and authority of his mantle. The mantle requires respect. This doesn't mean you have to like the person, but you need to respect the authority of the person. 21 When the purpose is divine, so then, one of David's servant killed King Saul. Here was David's response to that. David asked him, "Why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of his men and said, "Go, strike him down." So he struck him down, and he died. For David had said to him, "Your blood be on your own head," 2 Samuel 1:14-16. David did not say, "Thank you for moving him out of position so I could take his place." No, he killed the servant for killing the king. David was humble. He called Saul his lord and king, bowed his face, and paid homage to Saul. 1 Samuel 24:8. So now we know that David's core values, among others, were humility and respect, and his consecration was, "Touch not the Lord's anointed one." If we study David, we discover, giant slayer, 1 Samuel 17:1-58, deserted, Psalms 27:10, trusted the Lord, Psalm 63:1, a man after God's heart, 1 Samuel 13:14, David's mantle attracted the grace of God to fight his battles in honor of humility and respect, as these are core values. 22 Chapter 3 Living in Alignment with Divine Purpose enshrined in the Word of God, revealing that those who humble themselves the Lord lifts them up, and those who respect elders live long. Having done all, remember to observe Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, 23 gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. My perspective: some of the warriors or patriarchs in the eternities left the earth without handing over batons. Their mantles are hanging for those men and women who will discover themselves from the word of God and discover their tribes and lay a demand for the mantles. Elijah left his mantle to Elisha, Elisha left with his mantle or anointing. 2 Kings 2:9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. 10 You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said, "yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise, it will not." Elisha committed himself to follow Elijah everywhere he went. He didn't take heed to Elijah's advice that he should remain behind when he was going to the places he was going to. 23 When the purpose is divine, then from realizing the commitment from Elisha, he asked him of what he wanted him to do for him before he was taken. Likewise, we can lay demand of the mantles that were not handed over to our generation. Who are the Elijahs of our time? Men who can pass judgment over nations and establish the will and purpose of God in a territory. Who are the Josephs of today? Young men who value purity and uprightness over money and favor from men, I mean men who have the ability to receive from God dreams and interpret their meaning with ease and communicate accurately fate for economies of nations without any formal education. God Himself honors mantles, according to Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite woman. 2 They said, "Is it true that the Lord has spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. 3 Now Moses was a man with no pride, more so than any man on the earth. 4 At once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "You three come out to the meeting tent." So the three of them came out. 5 Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood at the door of the meeting tent, and called Aaron and Miriam. When both of them had come near, 6 The Lord said, "Now listen to me. If there is a man who speaks for God among you, I the Lord will make myself known to him in a special dream. I will speak with him in a dream." 7 Not so, with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. 8 With him I 24 Chapter 3 Living in alignment with divine purpose, speak face to face in ways he understands, and not in ways he does not understand. And he sees what the Lord is like. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? 9 The Lord was angry with them, and he left. 10 When the cloud lifted from over the meeting tent, Miriam had a very bad skin disease. She was as white as snow. Aaron turned toward Miriam and saw that she had a bad skin disease. Behold, God never punished Aaron on the day he punished Miriam because Aaron was still a high priest. He had to leave a baton to his son Eleazar for him to die. With reference to Numbers 20:26, take off Aaron's priestly clothes, and put them on his son Eleazar. Then Aaron will die there and join his ancestors. See, be diligent. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings, he will not stand before obscure men. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people, Proverbs 22:29. The hand of the diligent shall rule. You pay attention to the detail of your calling, you lay a demand and add value to yourself. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master," Matthew 25:21. 25 When the purpose is divine, Elisha had to die with his anointing, which eventually raised a dead man, as per 2 Kings 13:21, because his servant Gehazi was not a diligent son. He was busy chasing after material things and ended up with leprosy. Be focused. It wasn't long before the king happened by. The man cried out to the king, "Your servant was in the thick of the battle when a man showed up and turned over a prisoner to me, saying, 'Guard this man with your life. If he turns up missing, you'll pay dearly.' But I got busy doing one thing after another, and the next time I looked, he was gone." The king of Israel said, "You've just pronounced your own verdict." 1 Kings 20:39-40 Staying focused is key to keeping what you have. Focus will inform your menu and your attitude. Do not measure your progress by comparing yourself to those who are not of your tribe. A man who is not focused is moved by everything. E. Make affirmations. Remember, words are things, they crystallize over time and become a reality. Affirmations are statements, powerful words put together, that are meant to affect your behavior and the course of your life in a positive way. The goal of repeating affirmations is to change your way of thinking, go from being 26 chapter 3 living in alignment with divine purpose negative to positive, change your habits, and create a better life. As you affirm what you want to see, information move from conscious mind to subconscious mind, where the information influences your behavior, emotions, and beliefs based on past experiences and memories. This is the space of automation. You find yourself naturally living in alignment with the Word of God. People often use mental health affirmations during times in life when they're dealing with difficult circumstances. Examples 1. My voice is heard by God, Psalms 116:1-2, 2. I am worthy of receiving good things and of accomplishing my goals in life. 3. The past is the past, and my past doesn't predict my future. 4. I forgive myself for the mistakes I made, and I refuse to hold them against myself. 5. I am allowed to take up space, to have desires, and to have a voice. 6. I don't have to give up my hopes and dreams. 7. All this hard work I am putting into achieving my goals will pay off. 27. When the purpose is divine. 8. I am capable of making healthy choices. 9. I know my worth. 28. Chapter 4. Surrendering to the will of God, reflecting on the Word of God, and practices to surrender to the will of God. Surrendering your will to God is a powerful act of faith and trust in His plan for your life. It involves acknowledging that God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Isaiah 55:9. By surrendering your will to God, you are choosing to submit to His authority, wisdom, and guidance in all areas of your life. Surrendering your will to God requires a deep level of humility, faith, and obedience. It involves letting go of your own desires, plans, and ambitions, and instead seeking God's will and direction for your life. This can be a challenging process, as it may require giving up control and surrendering your own expectations and assumptions about how your life should unfold. One of the key ways to surrender your will to God is through prayer. By regularly seeking God in prayer, you can align your desires with His, seek His guidance and direction, and submit your plans to His perfect will. Through 29. When the purpose is divine prayer, you can express your surrender to God, asking Him to lead and guide you in all things. Surrendering your will to God also involves faith and trust that He knows what is best for you, even when His plans may not align with your own. It requires a willingness to follow Him wherever He leads, even when the path is unclear or difficult. In surrendering your will to God, you can experience a deep sense of peace, purpose, and fulfillment as you align your life with His divine plan. Trusting in His goodness, wisdom, and love, you can rest in the assurance that He is always with you, guiding, protecting, and providing for you every step of the way. Practices as you surrender your will. 1. Acknowledge and accept that you may not always understand God's plans, but trust that they are ultimately for your highest good. 2. Practice mindfulness and be present in the moment to cultivate a greater sense of surrender and acceptance. 3. Let go of expectations and attachments to outcomes, allowing space for God's will to manifest in your life. 4. Surrender your worries, fears, and doubts to God through prayer, meditation, or other spiritual practices. 30. Chapter 4. Surrendering to the will of God. 5. Develop a relationship with God through regular spiritual practices such as prayer, meditation, or reading scriptures. 6. Practice gratitude for the blessings and challenges in your life, trusting that they are part of a larger divine plan. 7. Seek guidance and wisdom from spiritual mentors, teachers, or community members who can offer support and perspective on surrendering to God's will. 8. Reflect on past moments where you have surrendered control and how it ultimately led to positive outcomes or growth. 9. Surrender with an open heart and willingness to follow where God leads, even if it requires stepping outside of your comfort zone. 10. Surrendering to the will of God is an ongoing process, so be patient with yourself and continue to deepen your trust and faith in God's guidance. 31 When the purpose is divine. 32 Chapter 5 Embrace authenticity, self-discovery and self-expression journey, breaking free from the cages of societal expectations. Embracing authenticity is a powerful and courageous way to live. It involves being true to yourself, expressing your beliefs and values openly, and not being swayed by societal expectations or pressures. By embracing authenticity, you can cultivate deeper connections with others, build self-confidence, and lead a more fulfilling life. Remember to always stay true to who you are and honor your unique perspective and experiences. In essence, authenticity is a lifelong journey of self-discovery and self-expression. It's a commitment to living our truth and honoring our unique individuality. It's about having the courage to be ourselves, fully and unapologetically, and in doing so, enriching our lives and the lives of those around us. It's about breaking free from the cages of societal expectations and norms and daring to live according to our own beliefs, desires, and values. This is no easy feat, especially in a society that often values conformity over individuality, but it's a journey worth undertaking for the freedom and empowerment it brings. 33 When the purpose is divine. To be authentic, we must show our vulnerability and expose our true selves to the world. This can be frightening, leaving us open to judgment and criticism. However, it's only by embracing our vulnerability that we can live authentically and form genuine connections with others. Furthermore, authenticity is not just about being honest with others but being honest with ourselves. This requires self-awareness and introspection, the willingness to confront our flaws, fears, and uncertainties. It can be uncomfortable, sometimes even painful, but it's necessary to live an authentic life. Becoming true to yourself involves self-exploration, self-acceptance, and self-expression. Unlocking your gifts and talents. To unlock your gifts, you can start by identifying your strengths, passions, and interests. Once you've identified what you excel in and what brings you joy, focus on developing those skills further. Set goals, stay persistent, and keep learning and growing. Surround yourself with supportive people who encourage your growth and believe in your abilities. In the Bible, the concept of gifts typically refers to spiritual gifts or talents that God bestows upon individuals for the benefit of the community and the advancement of His. 34 Chapter 5 Embrace Authenticity Kingdom. These gifts are considered blessings intended to be used to serve others, bring glory to God, and fulfill His purposes on earth. The importance of these gifts lies in how they enable believers to contribute to the well-being of the church and society, building up and supporting one another in faith and love. Various verses in the Bible, such as 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, discuss the diversity of gifts within the body of Christ and emphasize the value of each person using their gifts for the greater good. In the Bible, gifts are often referred to as talents or abilities that we are given by God. The importance of these gifts is emphasized in various passages, such as in the parable of the talents, Matthew 25:14-30, where individuals are entrusted with different talents by their master and are expected to use them wisely. Using our gifts responsibly and for the greater good is a recurring theme in the Bible. It teaches us that our gifts are not meant to be hoarded or buried but rather to be cultivated, shared, and used to glorify God and serve others. Each person's gifts are unique and should be appreciated as valuable tools for spreading love, kindness, and contributing to the community. Ultimately, the Bible stresses the significance of stewardship of our gifts, encouraging us to recognize and develop them, and to employ them in ways that align with God's will and bring positive impact to the world. 35 When the purpose is divine. Steps to help you on your journey to authenticity. 1 Self-reflection. Take time to reflect on your values, beliefs, desires, gifts, and goals. Understanding your innermost thoughts and feelings is the first step towards being true to yourself. 2 Practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself and practice self-compassion. Embrace your flaws and imperfections as a part of what makes you unique. 3 Set boundaries. Learn to set boundaries that honor your needs and values. Saying no when you need to and prioritizing your well-being is crucial in staying true to yourself. 4 Surround yourself with supportive people, Surround yourself with people who accept you for who you are and encourage your authenticity. Building a support system of like-minded individuals can help you stay true to yourself. 5. Take action. Once you have identified what is important to you, take small steps towards living in alignment with your true self. Whether it's pursuing a passion, speaking up for what you believe in, or making choices that reflect your values, taking action is key to authenticity. 36 Chapter 5 Embrace Authenticity. The journey to authenticity is ongoing and may not always be easy, but staying true to yourself is ultimately rewarding and empowering. Building self-confidence is a gradual process that involves self-awareness, self-compassion, and taking positive actions. Tips to help you boost your self-confidence: 1. Identify your strengths. Make a list of your positive qualities, talents, and accomplishments. Recognizing your strengths can help boost your self-esteem and confidence. 2. Set realistic goals. Break down your goals into smaller, manageable steps. Achieving these smaller goals can help build your confidence and motivate you to keep going. 3. Practice self-care. Taking care of your physical, emotional, and mental well-being is important for building self-confidence. Exercise regularly, eat healthily, get enough rest, and engage in activities that bring you joy. 4. Challenge negative self-talk. Replace negative thoughts with positive affirmations. Focus on your strengths and achievements, and remind yourself of past successes when self-doubt creeps in. 37. When the purpose is divine. 5. Step out of your comfort zone, push yourself to try new things and take on challenges that scare you. Stepping out of your comfort zone can help you grow and increase your confidence in your abilities. 6. Seek support. Surround yourself with supportive and encouraging people who believe in you. Talking to friends, family, or a therapist can help boost your confidence and provide valuable perspective. Building self-confidence takes time and effort, but with practice and patience, you can develop a strong sense of self-worth and belief in your abilities. 38 Chapter 6 Fulfilling Your Calling, Exploring Ways to Actively Pursue and Manifest One's Divine Purpose in Daily Life Through Service, Creativity, and Personal Growth. Fulfilling your calling is a journey of discovering, embracing, and living out the unique purpose that God has for your life. Your calling is the specific role or mission that God has designed for you to fulfill in His kingdom, using your talents, gifts, and experiences to make a positive impact in the world. To fulfill your calling, it is essential to seek God's guidance and direction through prayer, meditation on Scripture, and listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. By spending time in God's presence and seeking His will for your life, you can gain clarity and insight into the specific ways in which He is calling you to serve Him. Fulfilling your calling also requires faith, courage, and obedience to step out in trust and follow where God leads. It may involve taking risks, stepping outside of your comfort zone, and embracing challenges and opportunities that stretch and grow you. 39 When the purpose is divine, it is important to remember that fulfilling your calling is a process that unfolds over time and may involve seasons of waiting, preparation, and growth. It is a journey of continuous seeking, learning, and growing in your relationship with God and in the ways He is calling you to serve Him. Fulfilling your calling also involves using your gifts and talents to serve others and bring glory to God. It is about using your unique abilities and resources to make a positive impact in the lives of those around you, whether through acts of service, leadership, encouragement, or other forms of ministry. Ultimately, fulfilling your calling is about living a life that is aligned with God's purposes and bringing Him honor and glory through the way you live and serve others. It is a lifelong journey of faith, obedience, and surrender to God's plans and purposes for your life. Reward is based on ministry/service. Throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to serve others selflessly and with a heart of love and compassion. This service is seen as a way of following in the footsteps of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve others, Matthew 20:28. 40 Chapter 6 Fulfilling Your Calling. In Matthew 25:31-46, Jesus tells a parable about the final judgment, where the righteous are rewarded for their acts of service to the least among them. Those who fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, and cared for the sick were commended and welcomed into the kingdom of God. This illustrates the importance of serving others with kindness and compassion as a reflection of our love for God. In Galatians 6:9-10, Paul reminds us to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We are encouraged to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This emphasizes the importance of serving others consistently and persistently, knowing that our actions will not go unnoticed by God. Overall, the idea of reward being based on service in the Word of God teaches us the importance of selfless acts of kindness and love towards others. By serving others with a humble and compassionate heart, we are not only fulfilling God's commandments but also storing up treasures in heaven and experiencing the joy of bringing light and hope to those in need. Our ultimate reward comes from God, who sees and values every act of service done in His name. 41. When the purpose is divine, exploring creativity and personal growth. Exploring creativity and personal growth can be a powerful way to fulfill your calling as you seek to discover yourself through the Word of God. By tapping into your unique talents, passions, and interests, you can use your creativity as a vehicle for self-expression and spiritual growth. God has created each individual with a specific purpose and set of gifts, and it is through exploring and developing these gifts that we can fully express ourselves and serve others in a meaningful way. Embracing creativity allows you to connect with your innermost self and tap into the divine inspiration that flows from God. As you engage in creative pursuits such as art, music, writing, or other forms of self-expression, you can experience personal growth and transformation. Creativity can be a powerful tool for self-discovery, allowing you to explore your emotions, thoughts, and beliefs in new and insightful ways. Through creative expression, you may uncover hidden talents, confront fears and doubts, and deepen your understanding of yourself and your relationship with God. Additionally, personal growth is an essential aspect of fulfilling your calling and living out God's plan for your life. By committing to continual self-improvement and spiritual 42 chapter 6 fulfilling your calling development, you can expand your awareness, deepen your faith, and cultivate the character traits and virtues that align with your calling. As you embrace creativity and personal growth, you can more fully align yourself with God's will and purpose for your life. By nurturing your creative gifts and pursuing personal growth, you can honor God and serve others in a powerful and authentic way, fulfilling your calling and bringing glory to His name. 43. When the purpose is divine. 44. Chapter 7. Overcoming obstacles and challenges that may hinder your divine purpose. Overcoming obstacles and challenges that may hinder you from fulfilling your divine purpose can be a daunting task, but with faith, perseverance, and reliance on the Word of God, you can navigate through difficult times and emerge stronger than before. Every follower of Christ encounters obstacles on their journey. These challenges range from internal struggles, such as self-doubt and fear, to external pressures like societal expectations and relational conflicts. It's easy to feel overwhelmed and question whether we are truly equipped for the task at hand. However, it is crucial to recognize that these obstacles are not signs of failure but rather opportunities for growth. They can deepen our reliance on God and refine our character as we navigate through adversity. Embracing the process. The process of overcoming obstacles is not just about finding solutions, it's about embracing the journey itself. As we face trials, we learn resilience and perseverance. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 5:3-4 that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance shapes character, and character 45 when the purpose is divine creates hope. Each challenge becomes a building block for our faith, equipping us to fulfill our calling with greater strength and clarity. The role of community support from a community can also play a vital role in overcoming obstacles. Engaging with fellow believers provides encouragement, accountability, and shared wisdom. When we share our struggles and victories with others, we create a network of support that fosters growth and resilience. As Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 states, two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. The power of perspective. Shifting our perspective on obstacles can transform how we approach them. Instead of viewing challenges as barriers, we can see them as divine appointments designed to strengthen our faith and clarify our purpose. God often uses these moments to redirect our paths or deepen our commitment to His will. Key strategies to help you overcome obstacles and challenges on your path to fulfilling your divine purpose, 46:1. Prayer, turn to God in prayer during times of difficulty. Ask for guidance, strength, and wisdom to overcome the obstacles in your way. Trust in God's plan for your life and believe that He will provide the resources and support you need to persevere. 2. Scripture, seek solace and guidance in the Word of God. The Bible is filled with stories of individuals who faced seemingly insurmountable challenges but were able to overcome them with faith and perseverance. Find passages that resonate with your situation and meditate on them to find hope and encouragement. 3. Trust in God's timing. Remember that God's plans are perfect, even if they do not unfold according to your timeline. Trust in God's timing and believe that He has a purpose for every trial and obstacle you face. Lean on His strength and wisdom to navigate through challenges with grace and courage. 4. Seek support. Don't be afraid to reach out for help and support from trusted friends, family members, or members of your faith community. Surround yourself with individuals who can offer encouragement, guidance, and practical assistance as you work towards overcoming obstacles and fulfilling your divine purpose. 47. When the purpose is divine. 5. Stay positive. Choose to focus on the blessings and opportunities that come from facing obstacles rather than dwelling on the challenges themselves. Maintain a positive attitude and mindset, knowing that every difficulty you overcome brings you closer to fulfilling your divine purpose and becoming the person God created you to be. By drawing on the resources of prayer, scripture, trust in God's timing, seeking support, and maintaining a positive attitude, you can overcome obstacles and challenges that may hinder you from fulfilling your divine purpose. Remember that God is with you every step of the way, providing strength, guidance, and grace to help you navigate through adversity and emerge victorious. How to overcome fear. Elijah had experienced great prophetic success, but even as he sought to be faithful to God, forces of resistance challenged him, bringing him to the end of his rope. Queen Jezebel had been systematically murdering the spiritual leaders of Israel, and now she set her sights directly on Elijah. He was terrified and ran for his life. According to 1 Kings 19:1-3, his life direction was disrupted. He was sidetracked by fear. Overcoming fear of fulfilling your calling is a common struggle that many people face. 48. Chapter 7. Overcoming obstacles and challenges that may hinder your divine purpose. Tips to help you overcome this fear and step into the calling that God has placed on your life. 1. Seek God's guidance. Spend time in prayer and meditation seeking God's guidance and wisdom. Ask Him to show you the specific steps you need to take to fulfill your calling and trust that He will equip you with everything you need to succeed. 2. Focus on faith, not fear. Instead of focusing on your fears and doubts, shift your focus to faith in God's plan for your life. Remind yourself of God's promises and His faithfulness to those who trust in Him. 3. Surround yourself with support. Surround yourself with a supportive community of believers who can encourage and pray for you as you pursue your calling. Having a strong support system can help you overcome your fears and stay committed to your purpose. 4. Take small steps. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by the enormity of your calling, break it down into smaller, manageable steps. Focus on taking one step at a time, trusting that God will guide you along the way. 5. Lean on God's strength. When you feel afraid or uncertain, lean on God's strength and power to carry you through. 49. When the purpose is divine, remember that you are not alone in this journey, and God is with you every step of the way. 6. Practice self-care. Taking care of your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being is crucial in overcoming fear and staying grounded in your calling. Make time for rest, relaxation, and activities that bring you joy and peace. 7. Embrace failure as part of the process. Understand that failure and setbacks are a natural part of pursuing your calling. Instead of letting it discourage you, see it as an opportunity to learn and grow stronger in your faith. Remember that overcoming fear is a process that takes time and effort, but with God's help and guidance, you can step boldly into the calling that He has for you. Trust in His plan for your life and have faith that He will lead you where you need to go. How to discover your calling. Knowing if you are called by God is a deeply personal and spiritual process. Here are some steps to help you discern if you are being called by God. 50 Chapter 7 Overcoming Obstacles and Challenges That May Hinder Your Divine Purpose 1. Seek God through prayer. Spend time in prayer asking God to reveal His will for your life. Listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. 2. Study the Word of God. Delve into Scripture to gain insight and wisdom on God's calling for His people. Look for verses that resonate with you and speak to your heart. 3. Seek wise counsel. Talk to a spiritual mentor, pastor, or trusted friend who can offer guidance and support as you discern God's call in your life. 4. Pay attention to your passions and gifts. What are you passionate about? What gifts and talents has God given you? Sometimes God's call aligns with our passions and abilities. 5. Observe how God is working in your life. Look for signs of God's hand at work in your circumstances, relationships, and experiences. Pay attention to the doors He opens and the opportunities He presents. 6. Be willing to step out in faith. Sometimes God's call may require you to step out of your comfort zone and trust in His leading. Be open to taking risks and following where He leads, even if it doesn't make sense at the time. 7. Trust in God's timing. Remember that God's timing is perfect, even if it may not align with our own plans and desires. 51. When the purpose is divine, be patient and trust in His timing as you seek to discern His call in your life. My testimony as for Dr. M.W. Mkonta, he created a mentorship groups on social media platforms sharing motivations using scriptures. This became a daily habit. 10 years later he went through attacks which came in many ways from those who were around him. These attacks shook his family and spiritual life for 2 years. Prior to these attacks he had asked a senior man of God in the work of ministry, Reverend Masuku from John Wesley Methodist, on how does one see if he/she is called? His answer was Nauyati Bonla Njuma Inzaba Inga, meaning you see by what happens around you when you are called. My mentor Professor V.N. Sibiya shared the same words by giving me Ezra 10:4, prior to another prophet who had said there was a spirit following me. Another old man confirmed the same words. In total 5 people told me the same thing about my calling. On the 8th of March 2024 I saw a vision of a tablet, big phone, with words justice and righteousness and many other words which I could not see clearly. I believe it was Psalms 89:14. From then I started to preach the gospel on values I used to preach at workplace, and at some point I was invited to another church for a crossover service to minister as a guest speaker. I had previously been doing the work of the 52 chapter 7 overcoming obstacles and challenges that may hinder your divine purpose. Lord, having not been ordained, including witnessing healings when I pray for the sick without a specific calling/message. On the 7th of December 2024 I was conferred with a doctorate degree by Omega Global University Life Chancellor as a Doctor of Divinity after having excelled in leadership and outreach. My advice would be pay attention to what happens to your life. Don't ignore false accusations and persistent ridicule. These could be signs that a prince is called. God threshes a man before He uses him. I am a witness. God provides destiny helpers. All you need to do is to allow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, knowing if you are called by God is a journey of faith and surrender. Trust in God's guidance and direction, and He will lead you on the path He has prepared for you. Signs that may indicate that you are called by God. 1. Inner conviction. You may have a strong sense of inner conviction or calling that aligns with God's will for your life. This conviction may be accompanied by a deep sense of peace and clarity about the path you are meant to follow. 2. Confirmation from others. You may receive affirmation and encouragement from others, such as friends, family members. 53. When the purpose is divine or spiritual mentors, who recognize your gifts, talents, and calling. Seeking feedback and advice from others can help confirm that you are on the right path. 3. Unity of gifts and passions. Your calling may align with your natural gifts, talents, and passions. God often equips those he calls with the abilities and resources they need to fulfill their purpose. 4. Persistent nudges from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may nudge you towards a specific direction or purpose, guiding your thoughts, desires, and actions in a way that is consistent with God's will for your life. 5. Open doors and opportunities. God may open doors and provide opportunities that align with your calling, making a way for you to step into the purpose he has for you. 6. Fruitfulness and impact. As you pursue your calling, you may begin to see the fruits of your labor and the impact of your work on others. Your efforts may bear spiritual, emotional, or tangible fruit that reflects God's blessing and guidance. 7. Peace and joy. Following your calling may bring a sense of peace, fulfillment, and joy that transcends earthly circumstances. Even in the midst of challenges and difficulties, you may find a deep-seated peace that comes from walking in alignment with God's purpose for your life. 54. Chapter 7. Overcoming obstacles and challenges that may hinder your divine purpose. It's important to remember that discerning your calling is a process that unfolds over time and requires prayer, patience, and discernment. Trust in God's guidance and timing as you seek to discover and pursue the calling He has placed on your life. 55. When the purpose is divine. 56. Chapter 8. Immortality enveloped in a mortal body. Divine qualities or attributes can manifest in human beings through their thoughts, words, and actions. Christ promised us eternal life, a life that is not limited by time or circumstances. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. He told us that through Him, we can have everlasting life. Knowing that we have the power of the Holy Ghost gives us hope and peace in the midst of the trials and tribulations in this world. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was not in vain, for through His death and resurrection, all who believe in Him are given the gift of eternal life. This gift is freely given to us, not by any work or merit of our own, but by grace through faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. 20. You were bought at a price. Therefore honor God with your bodies. The reality of our immortal life with Christ should impact how we live in this world. We should strive to live in a way that reflects the hope and joy we have in Him, knowing that this life is just a temporary journey walked in our mortal bodies. 57. When the purpose is divine, living a life driven by the Holy Spirit is essential for every believer. The Holy Spirit, also known as the Spirit of God, is the third person of the Trinity and plays a crucial role in guiding, empowering, and transforming our lives as followers of Christ. God's original plan concerning mankind was to have them rule the earth, so by giving us the Holy Spirit, God expects us to foster the government of God on earth. Heaven is God's throne, earth is His footstool. Christians who are kingdom-minded understand that they are the extension of God's government on earth. Jesus laid down the standard: wherever there was disorder, He ensured that the situation is altered. To the stormy sea He spoke a word, "Be still," and nature complied. When we invite the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, we are filled with His presence and power. He enables us to live according to God's will, to walk in obedience, and to bear fruit in our lives that reflects the character of Christ. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern God's voice, to understand His word, and to receive His guidance and wisdom in every area of our lives. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, leading us to repentance and transformation. As we surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live a life that glorifies God and bears witness to His love and grace. The Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts and abilities to serve and edify the body of Christ, and to impact the world around us with the message of the gospel. 58. Living driven by the Holy Spirit requires a daily surrender of our will, desires, and plans to Him. It involves a deepening intimacy with God, a sensitivity to His leading, and a willingness to step out in faith and obedience to His promptings. May we continue to seek the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, allowing Him to guide us, transform us, and empower us to live in a way that honors and glorifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us share the good news of this immortal life with others, so that they too may experience the hope and peace that come from knowing Christ. 2 Peter 1:3-4 By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. 59 When the purpose is divine. 2 Corinthians 5 All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 19 That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. 20 Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 21 For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Ultimately, the notion of divinity expressed through humanity highlights the potential for individuals to channel divine qualities and contribute positively to the collective human experience through their actions and relationships. When we say that divinity is expressed through humanity, we are suggesting that each human being carries within them a spark of the divine, a connection to a higher power or universal consciousness. This notion stems from the belief that we are all interconnected and share a common essence that transcends our physical existence. The same mandate that Jesus gave His disciples applies to us, and the same results they had we still have, as per Luke 10:17 the 70 disciples came back very happy. They said, Lord, even demons obey us when we use the power and authority of Your name. 60 Elements of divinity expressed through humanity, 1 Love and compassion. A born-again person often shows love and compassion towards others, reflecting the divine quality of love. 2 Forgiveness, they might exhibit a willingness to forgive and show mercy, mirroring divine forgiveness. 3 Humility, a sense of humility and servanthood can be indicative of someone allowing their divinity to shine through their actions. 4 Integrity and honesty, living a life of integrity and honesty demonstrates a commitment to living out divine principles. 5 Generosity and kindness, acts of generosity and kindness towards others reflect the divine attribute of generosity. Scripture testimony with regard to the believer's union with Christ, 1 Crucified together with Christ Galatians 2:22. Died together with Christ Colossians 2:23. Buried together with Christ Romans 6:461 When the purpose is divine. 4 Quickened together with Christ Ephesians 2:5-5. Raised together with Christ Colossians 3:1-6. Suffered together with Christ Romans 8:17-7. Glorified together with Christ Romans 8:17. Process to the new life. We can use Acts 2:37-41 as a standard or process to the new life in Christ. Acts 2 Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? 3:8 Peter said to them, Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39 For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. 62 40 and with many other words He solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. 41 So then, those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. John 1:12 in the Bible states, Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. What is salvation? Salvation or sozo is a Greek term that translates to save, heal, deliver, encompassing a range of meanings related to salvation, healing, and deliverance. 1 Spiritually/heart/subconscious mind 2 Emotionally/soul/conscious mind 3 Physically/body/gates to your soul 4 Socially/relationships 5 Economically/finances 63 When the purpose is divine, God paid a full price. He reached out to mankind and helped them to have access to total deliverance in all spheres of life. Jesus died on the cross for the outbreak of the Spirit. The Spirit of God makes man to become the person God initially had in mind when he created Adam. The Spirit of God redeems the soul from destruction, the corrupted mind becomes a sound mind. The phrase sound mind is prominently featured in the Bible, particularly in 2 Timothy 1:7, which states, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Definition: the term sound mind translates from the Greek word sophronismos, which encompasses concepts such as self-control, discipline, and good judgment. This indicates a mind that is stable, healthy, and governed by God's Spirit rather than fear or anxiety. Context: Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him amidst challenges in his ministry. The reminder that God provides a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind serves to bolster Timothy's confidence and effectiveness as a leader in the church. Spiritual implications: a sound mind is not merely about mental clarity but reflects a deeper spiritual condition. It signifies being aligned with God's will and having the ability to discern truth 64 from falsehood, especially in a world filled with distractions and fears. Related scriptures on sound mind: Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." This verse emphasizes the importance of mental renewal in understanding God's will. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, think on these things." This encourages focusing on positive and virtuous thoughts to cultivate a sound mind. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." This highlights the peace that comes from trusting God. 1 Peter 1:13, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, be sober-minded." This calls for mental alertness and readiness in faith. Salvation covers a wide scope of a human being. Holistic Health 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it." This 65 "When the purpose is divine" verse highlights the importance of being well in all aspects of one's being. One spiritual wellness: this refers to being saved from sin and its consequences. It encompasses the belief that through faith in Jesus Christ, individuals can receive forgiveness and eternal life. Psalm 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." This verse reflects God's desire to restore both spiritual and emotional wounds. Romans 12:1-2, "I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This passage emphasizes the spiritual aspect of wellness through worship and transformation. 2. Emotional and mental wellness. Proverbs 17:22, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." This highlights the connection between emotional health and physical wellness. Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which 66 transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This encourages mental wellness through prayer and reliance on God. 3. Physical health. 3 John 1:2, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul." This verse connects physical health with spiritual well-being. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." This scripture underscores the importance of caring for one's physical body as a sacred duty. Healing and restoration. Exodus 15:26, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer." This emphasizes God's role as a healer. 67. When the purpose is divine. 4. Social health. Following the evolution of time from the Stone Age to the 21st century, we can include finances in the spheres of life after social wellness, which was prescribed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. 31. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. 5. Financial health. Silver and gold belongs to our God. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty, and Jesus died on the cross so that we may be rich according to 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. NIV, we need money to support the needy and also to fuel the spreading of the gospel. The born-again believers are the government of God on earth, they support interests of the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 6:17-19, he instructs those who are wealthy to, 68 command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. This passage emphasizes that wealth should be used for good works and generosity. The impact of giving. Paul also discusses the spiritual impact of giving. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, he encourages believers to excel in the grace of giving, indicating that their generosity can lead to greater spiritual growth and community support. Conclusively, Sozo reflects a comprehensive approach to salvation that goes beyond merely spiritual dimensions, encompassing healing, deliverance, and restoration in all areas of life. 69-70 Chapter 9. The creative power of the Word of God. From the very beginning, creation itself is depicted as an act of divine speech. Let there be light, and there was light. This profound ability of God's Word to create, transform, and manifest realities invites exploration into the implications of the divine Word in spiritual life, personal growth, and the world at large. Words possess remarkable power. They can inspire, heal, destroy, or create. In the biblical context, the Word of God is not merely a collection of letters or sounds, it embodies divine authority and creative force. From the very beginning, we see that God used His words to bring the universe into existence. Genesis 1 illustrates this beautifully. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1:3, NKJV. Each act of creation was initiated by God's spoken word, demonstrating that words can manifest reality. The nature of God's word. The Bible reveals that God's word is alive and active, Hebrews 4:12. It holds the power to create life and bring order out of chaos. John 1:1-3 emphasizes this concept further by identifying Jesus as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 71. When the purpose is divine, this establishes that Jesus is integral to creation and continues to sustain it. Through him, all things were made, highlighting that God's creative power is not confined to the past but is present and active today. The impact on humanity. As beings created in God's image, humans also possess a creative capacity through their words. Our speech can reflect God's character and influence our surroundings. Proverbs 18:21 states, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue," reminding us that our words can either build up or tear down. Therefore, understanding and harnessing the creative power of our words is essential for living a life aligned with God's purpose. Aligning our words with God's will. This book will explore how we can align our speech with God's intentions, recognizing that our words have the potential to shape our lives and those of others. By reflecting on biblical principles and examples of faith-filled speech, we will learn to speak life-giving words that echo God's truth and love. 1. The Genesis of Creation. 72. The Bible begins with a powerful illustration of God's creative speech in the book of Genesis. The phrase "and God said" appears more often, underscoring that creation is initiated by divine command. It indicates that the universe and everything within it came into existence not through physical labor or struggle but through the spoken word of God. This foundational belief illustrates the authority and potency inherent in divine speech, suggesting that words are not merely sounds but carry the essence of life and existence. Divine intent. Each act of creation was intentional, revealing God's nature and purpose. The world is crafted with order, beauty, and purpose, reflecting the character of the Creator. Reality formation. The spoken word shapes reality itself. When examining the account of creation, one can see how the physical universe aligns with the spiritual authority of God, raising questions about the nature of existence and the role of divine communication in our lives. 2. The power of verbal declarations. In Christian theology, believers are encouraged to recognize the power of the spoken word, resonating with the idea that words can create or destroy. Proverbs 18:21 states, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." This teaching 73, "When the purpose is divine," emphasizes the responsibility that comes with speech, illustrating that our words have the potential to influence outcome of our lives and the lives of others. Faith and confession. The principle of faith-filled declarations unveils that speaking God's truths can lead to significant life changes. When individuals align their words with God's promises, they tap into the creative power inherent in those promises. Encouragement and healing. Words can uplift or tear down. In a similar way that God's utterances brought forth life, so too can human words offer encouragement, healing, and hope. This highlights the relational aspect of language and significance in interpersonal connections. 3. The role of Jesus as the Word. In the New Testament, the Word is further expanded through the person of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John begins with the profound statement, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This designation connects Jesus to both creation and redemption, indicating that the divine creative force is personified in him. Creative authority of Christ 74. The miracles performed by Jesus demonstrate his authority over nature, illness, and even death. His spoken word often resulted in miraculous transformations, reflecting the inherent creative power that lies within the divine. Living Word. The notion of the Word made flesh signifies that the creative and redemptive power of God is active in the world through Jesus. This embodiment challenges believers to embody that same creative power in their lives by following his example of love, grace, and truth. 4. The transformative power in believers lives. The belief that God's Word can transform lives is a pivot of Christian faith. The Scriptures provide guidance, encouragement, and correction, acting as a blueprint for followers seeking to align their lives with divine purposes. Spiritual renewal. Romans 12:2 emphasizes the importance of renewing one's mind through the Word of God. This renewal is essential for spiritual growth and transformation, suggesting that engaging with Scripture can lead to a reorientation of thoughts, behaviors, and intentions in line with God's will. Manifesting Potential 75. When the purpose is divine, through understanding and internalizing God's promises, believers can influence their circumstances positively. The creative aspect of God's Word empowers individuals to envision new possibilities, overcome adversity, and pursue their God-given purpose. 5. The impact on community and society. The creative power of God's Word extends beyond personal transformation; it can also influence communities and societies. When individuals speak life-affirming truth and God's promises into their environments, it creates ripples of change that can lead to collective transformation. Faith communities. Churches and faith-based organizations often utilize the power of the Word in worship, teaching, and outreach initiatives. By proclaiming hope, justice, and love, they can galvanize communities toward collaborative action and healing. Social justice and advocacy. Many see the Word of God as a call to action in addressing societal injustices. When believers align their voices with God's truths, they can challenge oppressive systems, advocate for the marginalized, and work towards reconciliation and peace. Conclusion 76. The creative power of the Word of God is a vital concept that transcends spiritual boundaries. It begins with the act of creation in Genesis and continues through Christ's life, teachings, and the transformative impact of Scripture on individuals and communities. Understanding this power invites believers to deepen their relationship with God's Word, harnessing its potential to change their lives and the world around them. Ultimately, acknowledging that whatever God says becomes an invitation to engage deeply with divine truths and live out those creative realities in everyday life. 77-78 Chapter 10 Living a Life of Fulfillment Through Discovering One's Ministry. Living a fulfilled life is a quest that many embark upon but few truly achieve. The pursuit of fulfillment can often feel elusive, characterized by a persistent search for purpose and meaning. For many, discovering one's ministry or calling becomes a pivotal aspect of this journey. This exploration is not merely about finding a career but understanding and embracing one's unique contributions to the world. Living a life of fulfillment in ministry is a journey marked by purpose, passion, and profound impact. It is a calling that transcends mere duty, inviting individuals to engage deeply with their faith and the communities they serve. The essence of fulfillment in ministry at its core, fulfillment in ministry stems from understanding that it is not merely about performing tasks or fulfilling obligations. Instead, it is about embodying the grace of God in every interaction and decision. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am," emphasizing 79 when the purpose is divine, that our identity and effectiveness in ministry are rooted in divine grace rather than personal merit. Embracing the call to live a fulfilled life in ministry, one must first embrace the call to serve others. This involves recognizing that every act of service, whether big or seemingly insignificant, contributes to the greater mission of spreading love and hope. As Jesus exemplified through his life, true ministry is about serving others selflessly. In Mark 10:45, he states, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." This foundational principle invites us to approach our ministries with humility and a heart for others. The power of relationships. Fulfillment in ministry often flourishes through relationships. Engaging with individuals on a personal level allows for genuine connections that can lead to transformative experiences. For instance, consider the story of a pastor who befriended a struggling couple outside his church community. Through compassion and support, he introduced them to the gospel, leading to their spiritual renewal and restoration. This illustrates how intentional relationships can unlock opportunities for God's work to manifest in powerful ways. 80 Perseverance amid challenges. Ministry is not without its challenges, it requires endurance and resilience. Paul's exhortation to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5, "Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry," serves as a reminder that fulfillment often comes through perseverance. Embracing difficulties as part of the journey allows ministers to grow in faith and character while remaining steadfast in their mission. Finding joy in service. Ultimately, fulfillment in ministry is deeply intertwined with joy. When we align our actions with God's purpose and witness lives being transformed through our efforts, we experience profound satisfaction. As John Piper articulates, "The goal of ministry is the all-satisfying gladness of your people's hearts in the glory of Christ." This joy not only nourishes our spirits but also empowers us to continue serving with passion and commitment. Understanding ministry and calling. Defining ministry and calling. Ministry refers to serving God and others, contributing to the well-being of individuals and communities. Calling, on the other hand, speaks to the innate purpose that drives an 81 when the purpose is divine individual, it is the intersection of passion, talents, and the needs of the world. Together, these concepts illustrate a profound commitment to making a difference in the lives of others. Key Greek terms for ministry. 1. Diakonia, meaning, the word diakonia translates to service or ministry. It reveals the idea of serving others, often in a practical or supportive role. In Acts 6:1-4, diakonia refers to the ministry of serving food and meeting the needs of the community. It also signifies spiritual service, such as in Romans 12:7, where different spiritual gifts are mentioned, including the gift of service. Connection to servanthood, derived from diakonos, meaning servant, this term highlights the humble aspect of ministry, where individuals serve others selflessly, reflecting Christ's example, Mark 10:45-157. 2. Liturgia, meaning, this term translates to public service or liturgical service. it often relates to formal acts of worship or priestly duties. In passages like Luke 1:23 and Hebrews 8:6, liturgia refers to the service performed by priests in relation to offerings and 82 prayers to God. It encompasses both worship and ministry in a broader sense. 24. Implications for ministry today. Understanding these Greek terms enriches our comprehension of what it means to engage in ministry today. Service orientation. Both terms emphasize that ministry is fundamentally about serving others, whether through practical aid or spiritual guidance. This aligns with Jesus' teaching that true greatness comes from serving, Matthew 20:26. Diverse expressions. The various contexts in which diaconia and liturgia are used illustrate that ministry can take many forms, from charitable acts to formal worship settings. Each expression is valuable and contributes to the overall mission of the Church. Empowerment by the Spirit. Ministry is not merely a human endeavor but is empowered by the Holy Spirit. As believers engage in their ministries, they do so with the understanding that they are fulfilling God's calling and purpose. The importance of discovering one's calling, enhancing one's sense of meaning and fulfillment, often begins with self-discovery. When individuals seek to identify their calling, they gain a clearer perspective on their strengths, 83 when the purpose is divine values, and the impact they wish to have on the world. Research suggests that individuals who are aligned with their calling are happier, more engaged, and even healthier. This alignment fosters resilience, helping individuals navigate life's challenges with a sense of purpose. The transformative impact on life, personal growth and development. Living out one's calling fosters significant personal growth. Individuals develop new skills, expand their understanding of the world, and cultivate resilience. The journey is as enriching as the destination. Challenges faced become opportunities for learning and self-improvement. Building meaningful connections. Engaging in one's ministry often opens doors to networks of individuals who share similar values and passions. Building connections with others committed to service can create a sense of belonging and community. These relationships can offer support, encouragement, and inspiration, enhancing both personal and collective well-being. 84 Contributing to society. Ultimately, discovering and embracing one's calling contributes positively to society. Individuals living out their ministry create ripples of change within their communities, inspiring others to do the same. The collective impact can lead to broader societal transformation, rooted in compassion, empathy, and service. Conclusion: A life of fulfillment is inherently tied to the discovery of one's ministry or calling. This journey involves deep introspection, exploration of interests, and a willingness to face challenges. By embracing their unique purpose, individuals not only transform their own lives but also contribute meaningfully to the world around them. As one taps into this profound source of fulfillment, life becomes a canvas for creativity, service, and connection, leading to a richer, more purposeful existence. To live a fulfilled life is to embrace the calling that resonates within, committing to a journey of growth, service, and genuine happiness. 85.